The Second Oldest Profession, A World History of Espionage, Part 1, Lecture 11, Spies in the Age of Napoleon.
Out of the French Revolution, by 1796, there had emerged a strong man and brilliant military tactician by the name of Napoleon Bonaparte. In this lecture, we will consider just two of the many secret operations of the Napoleonic era to demonstrate the pivotal role of espionage in covert operations of the British Secret Service. The first is the British role in the assassination of Tsar Paul I of Russia, an assassination intended to facilitate the passage of the crown to an Anglophile, the young Tsar Alexander I. And we will discuss the role of code-breaking in the British defeat of Napoleon at Waterloo. According to the French Moniteur, Paul I died on the night of 24 to 25 March 1801. On the 31st, the Sound had been attacked in Copenhagen. History, they wrote, will tell us the connection of these two acts. The actual date of Paul I's death was immediately subject to confusion. According to the Julian calendar used in Russia at the time, Paul I died on the night of 11 to 12 March. The Gregorian calendar, used in most of Western Europe, dictated that his death was 23 to 24 March. Following the French Revolution, the French had adopted a different calendar altogether, which consisted of 10 months with 5 supplementary days. As to the Moniteur's suspicion regarding the relationship between the Tsar's death and the Battle of Copenhagen, Elizabeth Sparrow acknowledges that no firm evidence linking the two has yet been found. Nevertheless, she continued, there is reason for believing that Admiral Sir Hyde Parker, Commander-in-Chief of the British fleet, had been warned to expect the news of Paul's demise. Paul I was the son of Tsar Peter III and grandson of Peter the Great. His mother was Catherine the Great, who in 1762 cooperated in the murder of her own husband, Peter III. Catherine saw too much of her husband in her son and therefore hoped to bypass his reign altogether by passing on the mantle of Tsarist power to her grandson, Alexander I. While Catherine had had almost no hand in her son Paul I's education, she had personally managed the education of her grandson, sparing no expense to bring the greatest minds of the day, including several French philosophes, to tutor the heir to the throne of Russia in the most progressive ideas of the 18th century. In contrast, Paul I was neither smart nor educated. Taking the throne after his mother's death in 1796, Paul I was not adept at maintaining alliances abroad or at home. He distrusted the British, but was charmed by Napoleon's strength and military brilliance. Paul I therefore pushed for the end of the British-Russian coalition in 1800, even as he sought closer ties to Napoleon Bonaparte's France. General Korsakov's failure at the Battle of Zurich and Suvorov's retreat from Switzerland soured Paul I against the Austrians and led him to appreciate the benefits of an alliance with Napoleonic France. Paul admired Napoleon and believed that a Franco-Russian alliance would be far more beneficial than an alliance with any other European power. Anglophile representatives in St. Petersburg resisted the sovereign's new orientation. Among other things, Paul I intended to revive the League of Armed Neutrality between the Baltic powers. Moreover, Sweden, Denmark, and Prussia agreed to block British access to the Baltic Sea. Any British ships found in Russian ports were to be impounded. These policies cut the British Navy off from the necessary supplies of Russian timber, tar, flax, and hemp, and seriously threatened the British war efforts against Napoleon.